Bibles to the book of Romans. I want to start in Romans chapter 5 this morning, get a verse and verse or two here. There's this subject that's not a it's not an exciting subject, it's an important subject, and in Romans chapter number 5 and verse 12, Paul says, "And wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so just a few thoughts this morning on this idea that of death. Death's not, it's a sober and somber thing. It's a thing we all have to face because of our representative Adam. Sometimes we call him our federal head. He was the best of us as far as man is concerned.
Right.
And he plunged this earth and all of his posterity, all of his all of his seed, the seed of Adam, into death, into sin, and then into death. And so death and has passed upon all men for the law of sin. So at the end of chapter 6, of course, we read that verse. You know the verse that the wages of sin is death.
Right.
We read that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. And this thing, death, is just an awful thing. It's a monster we think about, but we can also rejoice in the fact that that's what Christ came to do. The last enemy that will be defeated, that will be put away, is death.
Yeah.
By the death of the second, at the last Adam, that was also the representative of all of his. So we have Adam, the first Adam, being the representative, plunging us into death, into sin, into this sin-cursed earth. You know, it's important sometimes we... Sometimes you think about, it's not that big a deal, science and the Bible, but it is actually doctrinally important for us to understand the creation that God did in the beginning, and how He spoke the world into existence, and that how that there was no, listen carefully, there was no death before sin.
Right.
So there was not millions of years of suffering and cancer and destruction and fierce survival of the fittest before Adam came and sinned. He walked in the garden. There was labor for him to do in the garden, keep the garden, but it was good. All things were good until Adam, being upright as he was, he wasn't battling with the flesh like we do. He was created upright and good.
Amen.
And yet he could not, the best representative we could put forth as mankind, he could not keep the one. And sometimes you say, why did he, and somebody says, why did God say no to that one thing? Listen, he said yes to all these other things. I mean, he had abundance of this garden. He could do all these things. He walked with God, but he could not. He and Eve gave in to the temptations of the deceiver there and ate of the fruit.
Yeah.
This idea of death, it's a terrible thing, but thank the Lord that He has conquered death, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, and we stand now not with no condemnation. We stand with no separation. We stand and can trust in the belief that who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. He's put away this sin and this death. He's conquered death. Now, it's still in our minds because we have to deal with it. It's a real thing we have to deal with in this world. But let's think about death in a few different ways. And I want to turn to, the Psalm, the 113th, I believe, Psalm is what I want. Get a few thoughts from the psalmist here, because he uses the word death in an interesting way here for us to think about. And we have a home in heaven that we can look forward to, but we have to deal with this this fear sometimes, or this thought, this reality of death. Let's get a few thoughts, Lord willing, of Psalm 116 before we get down here. Well, I'll just tell you where I'm going. I'm going to try to get to this. I'm going to look at a few different ways maybe we could apply that 15th verse. It says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints."
Yeah.
That's interesting to think about. Let's start here in the first verse, though. This is a very personal psalm. In this psalm, I think you can count up maybe 30, 35 or so personal pronouns. He begins with, "I love the Lord." And he uses "I" and "me" all throughout this psalm because it's so personal to him. This is one of these Hallel songs, these songs that they would sing from Psalm 113, I think, to 118, where they would sing these songs as they would go to Jerusalem during the pilgrimage feasts. That became a tradition of the Jews. But this one, he's speaking, it's a prayer to God. He's beseeching the Lord. But I mean, he's just pouring out himself. Now this is, being a personal Our God is personal, and we can pray to Him. We can talk to Him in a personal way.
That's right.
That's different than being selfish. That's different than praying with myself and thanking the Lord I'm not like these sinful men. And telling the Lord, you know, speaking to Him. Sometimes we need to hear from the Lord, not speak so much. But I thank you, Lord, I'm not like these other men. I tithe twice a week. I fast twice a week. Tithe everything. And it's not like that. Like that old hypocritical Pharisee that it shows the outward religion. But this psalm is about, it's a personal relationship with and fellowship with the Father. I love the Lord, but here he says, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Now we know that we love him because he first loved us. And there's got to be the Spirit in us and the love of God shed in our hearts for us to have a love towards him. But then after that love in our hearts, then we can start thinking and thanking for the things that we can remember, all the things.
Right.
So the psalmist here, he's considering, Lord, because you've heard my voice and you've inclined my ear, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. But he says in verse 3, this is the reality of it. The sorrows of death compassed me. They surrounded me. There are sorrows of death. Sorrows of death, maybe for our own death, and maybe more likely for the death of our loved ones, because I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with having a sorrow for the loss of a loved one.
Amen.
Paul would teach us clearly that he said, sorrow not as others that have no hope.
That's right.
You see, we need to sorrow. He's given us emotions and tears, and it's a refreshing and it's therapeutic, I suppose. I don't really like that word, but it's good for us to shed tears and to fear sorrow when we lose those. And for a time, we should weep with those that weep. There are seasons of sorrow and a time for weeping and a time for that sorrow, but not as others that have no hope, because we do have a hope.
Amen.
And so with time
and
with trust in the Lord, we can walk and we can find comfort. And, you know, we can comfort one another with these words and speak of the resurrection, speaking that day to come. But we also have to have wisdom when applying that. You know, when someone loses a loved one and they face and they're compassed with these sorrows of death and they lose that loved one, it's not always best to go and give the perfect word from Scripture to that individual. It's best just to sit with that individual and just to love on them, just to hug them.
Amen.
And say, I love you and I'm sorry. It's not to say,
and
you may have been through something very, very similar, but on day one, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that I've been there and I've, you know, just wait for a while. And then we can comfort one another with those words. But let's comfort.
Yes.
Let's start with just sitting and hugging and loving.
Amen.
Because there are sorrows in death. And so he said, and he remembers these things and these pain. And I found trouble and I found sorrow. Then I called upon, and this is the answer, right? Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And he talks about, and I don't have time to go through every one of these verses, but he's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. And when I'm brought, he says here, when I'm, verse 6, when I'm brought low, I think when I'm brought to humble and to the idea of a babe in Christ, a simpleton in Christ, then he helps me. I love that we can come, now that the way is made open, that the veil is rent, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. I just fall in love with this word help. I mean, he's given us a help meet. Husbands, you've got a bride that's help meet, help suitable for you. But one of the gifts to the Church of Jesus Christ is called the gift of helps.
Yes.
It's a gift of helps, and all of us need help. I tell you, preachers need help to hold up. Their hands need to be held up like old Aaron and her holding up the hands of Moses on the mountaintop while Joshua fought the battle. We all need help. And we can come boldly to that throne. We can come assuredly, not boldly, I'm so good. We can come with assurance to that throne of grace.
Amen.
And we can find help. And we can find help in the times of need, and the times that we're low, the times of death. My soul, it says, return to rest, my soul. Verse number 8 is very interesting if you really dig down and consider what he's saying. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, and mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. There's three different, I think, deliverance there. Three salvations there.
Right.
You know, somebody looks at the Scripture and tries to apply, you know, being born again or redeemed or going to heaven. Every time the idea of salvation is mentioned, you're going to get confused. It won't work. And
that's
why we are blessed with an understanding and a right division, I believe, to say, listen, the Lord can save you from your troubles, from your anxieties, from walking through that valley of the shadow of death. He can bring you through those things. He will deliver me three times, yea, four times through those troubles. And on and on, he's a deliverer daily. And that's why these that's why this idea of being able to call upon the name of the Lord is not for the really bad sinner out there that's unregenerate. It's for you and I.
Amen.
That scripture,
that's
all those scriptures that talk about calling on His name and confessing it even and coming before the church, uniting with the church, but then after that, calling upon His name daily that He would deliver us. Call upon His name. I would encourage you to do so. But so he's praising Him. He's remembering how He has delivered him over and over. I will walk now before the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk, I tell you, today, if thou wilt hear a voice. Today, you know, the hour is coming, and now is when we need to worship as true worshipers. Today to worship, today to call upon His name. We're not promised tomorrow. And we hear and we know and we read about the deaths in the world, and none of us are promised tomorrow. So today, if we will hear His voice, harden not our hearts, but receive His word and do our best to love Him and love one another while we have the opportunity, while the day is still today. And so he says, in the land of the living, I believed. Therefore I have spoken, was greatly afflicted. I said, all men are liars. And you see in the Psalms, they're so real, right? You see in the Psalms the up and the down of the psalm writers. Yeah. As we, even in the midst of a prayer, it seems like sometimes, we can feel close and we're just communing and speaking with our Lord. And then we just, you know, get carnal, get in the flesh, get down again. Oh my soul, oh why art thou cast down, my soul? And then talk to ourselves about the Lord. And He might bring us back up. But he comes down here, this is one of my favorite verses, verse 12. He says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Oh, we sing the song. I love the song. What shall I render? The sense of render is the sense of giving someone what they're due. But we don't have enough.
Yeah.
There's no way we can give Him enough. But he daily loadeth us with benefits.
Right.
I mean, it's daily benefits. What can I pay you back? I can't pay you back, Lord, but I'm going to try. I'm going to day by day give all I can back to you in my walk and in my praise of my lips, the fruit of my lips and the thanksgiving that I give. What shall I render to the Lord? That little word I there I think is important. Again, this idea of being personal. I guess it was Peter over there talking to the Lord and he said, you know, getting information how he maybe can render back to the Lord about feeding his lambs and feeding his sheep and feeding his sheep. And he should have just got to it. But you remember what he did. He said, well, what about this man, Lord? What about this? What's he going to render to you? That's our problem. We start thinking about, well, this person should have been here. Or what this person's going to render to the Lord.
Right.
Well, I need to worry about what I need to render. What shall I render unto the Lord?
Amen.
How can I serve Him? You know, the Lord's going to deal with His people, other people. We can pray for them. But let's worry about ourselves when it comes to that. What shall I render to the Lord? Let me just get down here. He's talking about paying these vows. And there are vows, paying the vows unto the Lord, especially after you've taken upon the name of the Lord. Somebody says, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. I'll tell you, when you become part of the bride, the visible bride of Christ, you're taking the name of the Lord and you're making a vow, a covenant vow to Him.
Right.
To be that bride of Christ, that faithful bride of Christ like we should be. There's much to be said about the vows and fulfilling the vows that the language that he used here. But finally, let's get down to this idea in verse 15. Precious, and Lord willing, we'll spend, look at this in a few different ways here in the rest of our short time this morning. We want to get out of the way with plenty of time to hear Brother Paul as well. But he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints.
Yeah.
So, in season, you know, Abraham died, I think, at a good old age. In season, it is, I think, a beautiful thing. I hope that we can rejoice and when we remember and we weep and we mourn because we have lost this loved one. And it's a time somebody says it's a celebration of life. It's okay to celebrate life, but also don't forget to mourn. You really do need to mourn for that individual and celebrate. And it still hurts because we're losing that individual. But at that season of life, that 70, if by reason strength 80, then those seasons of life it seem to be a little bit more precious and easier, a little easier to deal with. When it's like that at a good old age, and it's like the end of a journey, and we can think about that this, well done, you've kept the faith, you've run the course, you've fought the good fight, and the Lord is welcoming this individual home. I think about a race, that course. Have you ever seen like the marathon runners? And they'll come around that very
that very last corner. And it seems like they can't make it, but then they come around that last corner and they see the end.
Right.
And it's right in front of them, and they see the end, and they just get just a little more strength.
Yeah.
And they run hard. And people throughout the marathon, if they're good, you know, good spectators, they're handing them drinks along the way, right? They're encouraging me on their way. And maybe they fall down and they stumble. I mean, we're not going to stumble in that sense, but we've got someone to help us if we stumble. But those that are watching the race, sometimes they might help them up, help them to the end until they cross that finish line. And can you see the Father welcoming home those that have finished the race, and how much of a celebration that is in heaven, rejoicing there when that sinner comes home and they're out of this land of sin and sorrow, and they can just embrace the Father. And it is a celebration there at the end of life. And so death is I think that can be precious in the sight of the Lord when His saints come home. I think it's harder on us. It's a lot harder on us when we lose someone out of season.
Right.
And I would just encourage you, when we talk about this, sometimes, and this is a hard thing to talk about, but we've all been to a point where we wonder about this wicked world, and we look at ourselves and we're struggling, and we want to end it. But it's not the Lord's desire, it's not His will that we would take our own lives. We are bought with the price, we are His. And I know we can all get down. We just don't think we could make it another day. We think that it seems like maybe no one likes us. Maybe everybody hates us. Maybe it just seems that way. But I want you to know that if you're here this morning, I can pretty much assure you that somebody loves you in the house of God here this morning.
Amen.
And your Lord loves you, and He's told us the right way to do things. He'll take us home when the time's... It's not for us to take that life. So I want to encourage you to go on. It's hard, but press on. You can do it. And receive those drinks of waters we'll run this race. And let the brethren help you and encourage you.
Amen.
Take that encouragement. It's hard sometimes. Just pull the covers over. Don't want to get out and isolate myself. No, He's given us this family of God to spend time with and to help us along this journey.
Amen.
So don't. I just want to remind you, don't ever let Satan accuse you and lie to you about those things. Trust the Lord, trust His word, and trust the good people of God that will encourage you.
Amen.
But it's harder when we get taken in out of seasons of life earlier. I know that, but it's still, I believe, precious in a certain sense when a child of God comes home. But this is corporeal death, and we know corporeal death. It would, you know, we're not told a lot about heaven, but we know. I like what Paul says. That he was in a strait, betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, to be with Christ, which is far better.
That's right.
So that's one way to describe it when we get there. That's one reason why it's precious. Because to depart, and that's what happens when the soul, when the body, death is a separation. That's what the word death means.
Right.
And so the soul and spirit separate from the body, and they return to God who gave it. It's like, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And to depart, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. And so it's far better. Now, Paul said, it's more needful for me to be with you. And it was, as he continued to feed God's people until his course was ended. But it's far better. David would say that I will be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. And he would talk, the psalmist would say, that in his presence there is fullness of joy. We get taste of it. We get glimpse of it. And I want his presence. Even this morning, I want it every time we come together as a church. I want to feel the presence of God and feel the fullness of joy. And let that fruit of that Spirit just be shown, just bearing that joy and feeling the presence of God. But boy, when we get there, you talk about in this old earth, it just seems like there's holes in my bag. I just keep putting it. I'm never satisfied. I just can't quite be satisfied on this earth. And that's true. And we can get close. We can get taste. But boy, we'll get some satisfaction in heaven someday. And it's precious. That's why, in a sense, when this is all over, that's precious. Let me consider, though, and I suppose the last part of this verse here, or this psalm, he speaks of sacrifice. In verse, so he wants to repay his vows. Oh Lord, I'm thy servant. In verse 17, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows, and in the courts of the Lord, in the midst of Jerusalem, I'll praise Him. So we've got some thanksgiving and some praise. Same thing the Hebrew writer would say over there, the sacrifices unto God. But turn with me one more place here this morning in the book of Colossians. There's an interesting language in the third chapter of the book of Colossians. So especially in season, when a child, a family member, comes home to the Father, I do think that's precious. As they pass into the gates of glory, and he welcomes them home. But in Colossians chapter 3,
I'm going to read verse 3 to start with. He says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So here we have some kind of death, but it's not the corporeal, natural death of the separation of the soul and spirit. And to back up a little bit, matter of fact, he says in the first verse, "If ye then be risen with Christ," you know, "seek those things which are above," etc. There. But so there's a being risen with Christ, and it's a life in Christ somehow because we're risen. But then he says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ." You're dead. So what could we be dead to? You know, we were dead in sins, we were conceived in iniquity, and when we are born again and quickened from that death in sins, as the way we say it, we're quickened from the death in sins to a life in Christ. But in one way, when we come into that life in Christ, there's a sense that we are dead.
Yes.
Dead to something. And we could look right at this separation probably in at least three different ways. There's more ways to be looked at. But the work that Christ did on the cross, He made us dead. He saved us from the penalty of sin.
Yeah.
The penalty of sin is what He took care of on the cross. I mean, He suffered hell on the cross. The very wrath of God was poured out upon Him until God the Father saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied with that
right
wrath. Satisfied with that penalty was paid. And
Amen.
We are made just in the eyes of God.
That
in the courtroom
right
of God,
yes,
we were
sir
justified on the cross. Dead to the penalty of sin. In one sense, we were all saved the same day. In that sense, that redemptive sense, we were. But we're also saved. Not only were we saved and we're dead to the penalty of sin, but then when we come from a death and sin to a life in Christ, we're dead to something. We're dead to the bondage of sin.
Yeah.
When we are born again, we are no longer servants and slaves to sin.
Right.
You see, in that old natural man, I mean, he had, sure, somebody says free will. Well, he had free will within his nature, but he was bound in that nature just to choose of the carnal sins of the world.
Right.
So he had free will to choose which sin he was going to commit. But I tell you, he was bound in that sin. And so then when we are risen with Christ in the new birth in that sense, because there's different ways of risen with Christ, right? We were with Him on the cross, went with Him in the grave, came out of the grave with Him, we are risen there. But also when we are quickened unto life, we are dead to the bondage and to being enslaved to sin. I look forward to
yeah
the day that we're also, when these old bodies that just groan, I believe, the new creature groans, maybe the creation, natural things, but this old creature gets tired of stuff too.
Yeah.
He groans and he's ready for the redemption
right
of the body.
Yeah.
And then we'll be dead to the presence, so we can be dead to the penalty and to the power of sin, the bondage of sin,
right,
and also then someday to the presence of sin.
Yeah.
And that's precious.
Amen.
I tell you, all those deaths are precious. It's precious when he saw the successful work of the Son doing the will of the Father to not lose one of His. And it's precious when one of those are called from death to life and they're born of the Spirit of God and now they begin to walk in that newness of life. And it's going to be precious on that great resurrection day when He brings us home and no more presence of sin in this world.
Amen.
No more struggles and challenges. Someday, that's a good thing. It's a precious thing that will be precious in His sight, and I believe it will be precious in our sight when He sees glory in the clouds opened up there and we meet the Lord in the air. And those are words that we can comfort one another with, I'll tell you that.
Amen.
The preciousness of the death. Let me look at one more idea of how death can be precious. The death of the saints can be precious in the eyes of the Lord. Next verse, the next couple of verses, he says, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, you shall also appear with Him in glory. And that's going to be true in the resurrection day. And that's when He appears and He lets His presence, just a taste of it, be known. We can get a taste of it here as well. But in verse 5, mortify, he says, mortify therefore your members. That seems like a strong word. Mortify your members. Sometimes when we think of members, we think of maybe church members. And there are times that churches should take church discipline. There should be some exclusion, some excommunication, some separation, some death there for certain things. I don't think that's what the Scripture's talking about.
Right.
He's talking about the members of our body. And
right,
you know, we could think about our physical body, but also the different parts of our personality and our weaknesses. There are certain things about us. That old nature,
right,
some of us have weaknesses in some areas,
right,
and some of us have weaknesses in other areas. You need to pick out what's bothering you, what's challenging you, what's tempting you, and mortify it and put it to death.
Yeah.
Kill that thing. Put it away. And he says, put off the old man. He also is saying here, he says, crucify the old. Here he's saying, mortify. I mean, put that thing away. Kill it. You know what, the whole idea of sacrifice in the Scripture, I mean, the Old Testament is just blood. It's blood, it's death, all the time. But we can look at those things, and how can we see them in the New Testament? Well, there's sacrifices that we bring. There's things that need to be killed in the New Testament, and there's sacrifices even of our very self. This is part of it too. I mean, when he talks about, you know, he had a cross to bear. We couldn't bear that cross. We couldn't drink of that cup. But we have our own cups and crosses to bear, and we're to take up our crosses daily.
Amen.
The cross is an instrument of death. It's something to take up daily and take up the Christian walk of discipleship daily. And in that daily walk, friends, to kill some things. Man, what's he say here? Members which are among you on the earth, fornicate. I mean, this is just one list, mainly sexual type sins. But there, I mean, we could throw in all kinds of other sins, anger and bitterness. And he says, mortify these members. He said, just kill these things, whatever it takes. To put away fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. There's kind of outside the sexual sin. Covetousness, which is idolatry.
Right.
I mean, he says, put those things away. Kill those things. That's what God wants. And anytime, I mean, it's a pain. Whether I'm, I have to do the work of killing an animal for necessity, that's not fun. And it's not going to be fun to kill these things. It's going to be painful.
Yeah.
It's going to be painful to mortify. It's going to be so painful to put away something. Maybe it's a secret sin. Maybe it's not a secret. Maybe it's a sin I make excuses for. My family was always, we always have bad tempers, or this was always our weakness. And, no. You don't blame mommy and daddy and grandma and grandpa. You can,
right,
with the power of God, through the power of God and His Word, you can. That's why He gives us this admonition.
Amen.
To mortify these things,
yes,
and
sir,
put away these things. Just, the way the Scripture goes, but I'll turn here and read it. But in Romans chapter 12, it's not just there are sacrifices we bring, but this entire body, It says,
that's right.
Paul would say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, mm-hmm, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your bodies, a living sacrifice. God has redeemed this place. He's your creator and maker. He's your redeemer. He owns and bought this body. Don't harm it in a physical sense, but better present it as a living sacrifice on Sunday morning and on Monday morning and on Tuesday morning.
Amen.
And every day,
right,
present it as a living sacrifice. We don't separate. We ought not separate our lives into boxes. I'm going to sacrifice on Sunday, but not. No, let's present our bodies day by day a living sacrifice. Be not conformed. Part of this,
right,
not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we can prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. He says, what's the will of God for my life? I love the rest of Romans 12.
Uh-huh.
And just read it. This is the will of God for my life. Let me just get a few verses here and I'll sit down. But this is the perfect and good and acceptable will of God, that through this grace that He has given us, let love, verse 9, I'll jump around here and then get out of the way. But He says, let love be without dissimulation. That's a word that means hypocrisy. That means as part of my sacrifice, I'm going to need my charity, my love, to be without pretending, without hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And I need to be kindly affectioned one to another. This is God's will for my life. To put to death, to mortify, because this is precious in His sight. As my body is a living sacrifice, that is one that is kindly affectioned one to another, in love, in honor, preferring one another, preferring one another above me, and friends also preferring one another above the worldly friends. So it's okay maybe to have some worldly friends. I hope they're godly friends also. But friends, let's spend some time in fellowship with the house of God, with
Amen.
The saints, with the church of Jesus Christ, and prefer them above others. He says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality, bless them that curse you, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that do weep, be of the same mind, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things that are honest. If possibly, peaceably with all men. On and on. Of course, he ends the chapter with, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a living sacrifice. That's mortifying the members of my body. That's living in a way that the death of the saints of God, because you all are saints. Right now you're saints, not because you're so good. But you're saints because He sanctified you.
Yes.
He sanctified
right.
you. I mean, He sanctified you before time when He set you aside to redeem you. He sanctified you also when you were born of the Spirit. The Spirit set you apart to be created unto
Amen.
Good works
That's
that you can
right.
glorify Him. So you are saints. But the thing that we believe is we're saints
And we're sinners. and that's the battle that we have. And that's the part of us that we're looking to die to. Paul said, I die daily. And we can die daily and please the Lord, and it can be precious in His sight. So death is it's a sober thing, it's a somber thing that we should weep in times that we need to weep and mourn over the loss of loved ones. We can realize that when one comes home to God, it is precious in that way. We should never harm our own bodies. We sing about how beautiful heaven is, but let's be careful to understand it's still not for us to take our own lives in that way. Right. Encourage one another in those things. But realize that there are more than one type of death. And we're dead to that penalty. And that's precious in God's sight. We're dead to the power when He's born us again.
Amen.
And we're dead, friends, to the presence on that last day. But while we're here, let's kill, mortify, crucify. It's going to be painful, but no pain, no gain. It's going to be painful to put those things away to be precious in the sight of God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your good attention. Thank the Lord for His presence this morning. Amen. Brother Paul.